Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here. I have a whole bunch of digital devices in me as well right now in front of me. Before I begin and offer a prayer, it is not only an honor to be here, but I bring you greetings from the Presbytery, your brothers and sisters in Christ here in Winnipeg. Winnipeg is composed of over 40 ministries, congregations and community ministries, and the work that you do here is part of that faithful good news. So thank you for having me. I would invite you into this time of prayer to hear these words as we move towards the Word. Holy Storyteller, we gather in this moment as a unique gathering of seekers and doubters, friends, sisters, and brothers. We gather to experience what it is you might be saying, whispering, urging us to hear. We gather those who have experienced or long to experience the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. We gather to experience your word. In this moment, on the cusp of the word, we prepare ourselves to hear your wisdom. In this moment, on the cusp of the word, we still ourselves to the Spirit blowing. In this moment, on the cusp of the word, we enter into a moment of silence in which your voice is ever present. I am an example of what is called Generation X. I really, really do not trust institutions. In particular, the church would be one of those. But in 1997, something was happening to me. The soil of who I was being turned, and I also had this longing. I had walked through pretty much every faith system you can imagine, trying to find out where to park this thing called my faith and my doubts. And I really, really did not want to come to a Christian denomination. So what was interesting to me is that, nonetheless, in 1986 and 1988, this denomination made some choices that challenged my cynicism. In 1986, this denomination decided that maybe we had been wrong about how we treat our First Nations people. Maybe we caused more harm, though our intent might have been good. Maybe we had confused the good news with our own egos. And then in 1988, this denomination made another crazy decision around ministry and sexual orientation. And in my cynicism, that stuck. And so in 1997, I walked into a United Church called Queen Street in Kingston, Ontario, and started to say, okay, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm not church, didn't have a clue what to expect, and I experienced this thing called the Word, this thing called the reflection, and I was like, huh, these people think. In 2003, I'm in northern Saskatchewan at the annual conference of the United Church of Saskatchewan Conference of the United Church of Canada, and I'm surrounded by all these crazy ministers who are called diaconal. Never heard of this before. And the guest preacher who was doing the theme and sharing the word then entitled her presentation over the 3 days, Fear, Faith, and Fortitude. And that's when I shook my head and told my partner, I think that I'm going into ministry. And the word did not really help me. The word's a funny thing. It's not completely about education. It's not completely about pastoral care. It's not completely about giving us space to reflect. It is all of those things and so many more. And though I honestly don't feel a call to the word, it is an amazing gift that this Protestant experience offers us every single Sunday. It allows us to dig into the soil of who we are, who we think we are, who we might be, and dig deep. So in the passage that I was thinking about this, I was struck and continue to be struck when in Jesus' ministry, we hear Jesus told the crowd all these things in parable, Without a parable, he told them nothing. Now, for those of us who have been doing this a long time, that might make a lot of sense, but parables don't make sense. That's the whole point. Parables aren't black and white binaries. They are intentionally there to throw us off our game. They're intentionally there to challenge us, to ask us, what is it we think we're hearing and what is it that we're actually hearing? So I know, and Greg and I have talked about this, that he himself has been using this the passage throughout from Matthew. And this passage, I love this passage. This passage is so filled with paradox and things that don't make any sense. At the end, you're like, okay, what am I supposed to be hearing here? So Jesus talks about the seed thrower as good, and then later on he goes around and says, well, maybe they're not so good. He talks about wheat as this robust, abundant crop, and yet he compares the kingdom to mustard seeds, which if you have a green thumb, you know that mustard seeds, and this is probably not new to you, some of you, it's a weed. It's like taking dandelions and putting it in your gardens out there. And he says, that's the kingdom. And so for me, as I was reflecting on coming here today and sharing the word with you, I really didn't know what I was supposed to share with you as Westminster United Church. As somebody who has the gift and blessing to be called into a ministry that reflects where we are as a denomination. And so I dug into this passage. And what struck me isn't that the seeds are as important as perhaps the soil into which we throw those seeds. And as a denomination that is experiencing radical change, difficult change, we ask ourselves, lost in the wilderness, what are these seeds that we are throwing? And so I want to wrestle a little bit with the soil. I want to wrestle a little bit with the idea that the seeds have never changed. The seeds are and have always been about finding people, inviting people with compassion and humility to invite them into a place of transformation, to say, you are loved. You are not broken. The world may give you a message of judgment. It may judge your color, your language, your race, who you love, how you love, where you love. But Jesus' message was that all are welcome. And so what is this soil? The soil that we as the United Church of Canada have been in for closing in on 100 years of our history as a Protestant denomination that traces its roots back all the way to the 3rd century. We are a denomination and an experience that has been the people who made the soil. We have been at the center of decisions for a very, very long time. Some would say that we have been part of empire, that we have been part of the power structures in this country. This denomination is the only one that was enacted by an act of parliament. We were and have been central to decision making in a way that, as we move past that, is really difficult to look down and say, what is this earth in which I stand now? And in that time, some of the things that I would celebrate that this congregation itself has done in that time of soil. In World War II, this denomination, this congregation, Westminster United Church, did some very dramatic and amazing things. It helped. It helped raise funds to deal with the reality of refugees and those who suffered the outcomes of World War II. It was present in helping men and women return from a conflict which continues to baffle us, and yet which we felt called to support. Going back even further into the 1930s, this denomination, this congregation, Westminster United Church, was deeply involved in the Depression. Your women's organizations, your ministers at the time, espoused that the economic system was not equal and fair. And so you made choices to share. You made choices to share from a place where you were decision makers, where we were decision makers. And perhaps in even a living memory, in the 1990s and 80s, during the Bosnian conflict, this congregation made a choice to not only speak about the conflict in Bosnia, but to actually sponsor a family and their children to move out of that conflict into Winnipeg. That's some amazing soil. That's some rich, faithful choices And yet, and I'm not going to belabor the point, we all know the soil has changed. This isn't surprising. We may not like it. But God's moved, the world's moved, and the question is, what does that mean for us as the United Church in Canada? What does that mean for Westminster United Church? And so as I was dealing with this image of the soil, what I got out of the parable from Matthew is, what is your intention when you throw those seeds? Is our intention as a denomination that is wrestling with this change and what to do, is it about refilling these pews? Is it about going back? Is it about grieving? And perhaps those are rhetorical questions, because perhaps it's all of that. And yet, the difficult reality is that the soil's changed. We're not going back. There is no going back. So what do we do? How do we hold that parable? How do we hold that paradox of grief? And God's doing some really, really cool things. I want to read to you a piece that explains this new soil. It comes from our national denominational magazine, The Observer. This is a plug if somebody in here is an Observer enthusiast. They describe this shift into the new soil in the following way. In other words, there's a gap between what Canadians believe church should be concerned with, which is improving the wider world, and what they believe they are concerned with is internal rules, rights, and regulations. Faith groups need to find a way to let the public know about all the work they're doing, from advocating for nuclear and chemical disarmament to researching human trafficking in Canada. We need to share that the reality is that our values and who we are and understand ourselves to believe as followers of Christ are, in fact, not at all dissimilar to what secular Canada wants in the world. We're just not doing a very good job of transmitting that message in new soil. And so what is that new soil? What does this metaphor of soil mean? And as with any good parable, it's not really new soil, is it? This soil in which we sit in the 21st century, when we can send a signal across our solar system and hear back in a couple of days, is that choice is the new normal. Those people who are outside of these walls, who are not identifying as Christian, for the first time in this new soil, they're doing something very, very old. So old that it even predates our understanding of church after the 3rd century. So old that it goes back to the early church. The reality is this Christian experience, this Christian journey, is a choice. For those outside this wall, they get to choose where they park their faith. Nobody can tell them what to believe. There's no rights and regulations. And if we're not out there, if we're not where they are, if we're not in their soil, then I think we have to ask ourselves, how are we sharing the good news? Because if we're keeping the good news to ourselves, what's our intention? And if the good news is about being compassionate and humble and helping people be transformed, I'm going to offer one more piece of what this new soil looks like. So this morning I was standing out there. I Facebooked a picture of the sign with my name on it and said, I really hope I know what I'm talking about today. That message went out through social media to over 2,000 people. 2,000 people have a choice to say, I wonder what's happening at Westminster United Church today. Maybe I'll go on their website later and see if there's something more about this. It's an amazing time. God's abundance is all around us. The question is, are we prepared to throw seeds into new soil? And so as I draw this time of reflection to an end with you, I'd just like to offer some of the things that I'm seeing that I would celebrate as the Winnipeg Presbytery Minister. It's a really long title too, if you want to know the whole job title. It's the Ministry, Winnipeg Ministry, Presbytery Minister of Evangelism, Mission, and Church Development. I have a lot of syllables. You, as a faith community, in the time that I have known you, and I have known you since 2004, have done some amazing things with this thing about choice. And two of them I would hold up is your Bell Tower Cafe and your gardens. I suspect that both of those things for some of you have been really, really fun and really exciting and passion-filled, and others have said, why are we doing this? Why are we investing in opening the doors to those who don't even worship here? Perhaps some have even said, they're not even giving us money, because we need to have the money talk. But here's the reality. Those men and women, children who come to both of those ministries of yours are coming because they have a longing. They have a longing to be cared for. They have a longing to be embraced. They have a longing to be fed. And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty certain that's a consistent message that Jesus' parables talk about, is who are we feeding? Who are we offering good news to? And here's the irony about finding out what people need, is that when you find out what they need, you enter into a relationship with them. And once you're in a relationship with them, you can start saying, I'd really like to share this ministry of a crazy rabbi named Jesus. You're doing some amazing things in this time of change. And I would just like to thank you and say that in this difficult time, you are good news. Thanks be to God.